Good morning. I love being here. This has been a lot of fun. It's also been kind of a wake-up call for me. I haven't done this in a long time. It's been good for me. It's really easy to get into a rut. Just do what you've always done. You know, one week you're okay. The next week you're a little bit off course. The next week you're a little bit off course, right? That's not good for us. So probably getting to do something different every once in a while is almost necessary in my life. This morning, I'm going to do something that is probably not recommended. So if you're a husband, don't do this to your wife. I'm already getting the look. Now, this has to do with the message, babe. Don't get too mad. We're going to talk about the condition of your heart this morning and how that is set up by things that we experience. Something happens and we make a rule. Something happens, we put up a defense for it. Now, this is just a stupid little story, and I'm going to defend her at the end of it, so don't feel too sorry for her. About 10 years ago, we built a new house, and when we built it, we had an outdoor wood furnace installed, a wood boiler, and I didn't have experience with that kind of thing. I mean, I've run wood stoves. That's not a new thing to me. I'm an old country boy. I can skin a rattlesnake if you ask me to. That's not a big deal. Feeding a wood stove is not a big deal. These things are a little bit different. You don't have to worry about chimney fires. You can throw any kind of wood in them. You can throw a buffalo chip in there. It's okay. It'll burn it. But the thing that I didn't know the first season that I used this thing is what the rules were about it. I'd been told by the guy that helped me install it, that I bought it from, don't open that main door until you've opened the ash door and given it time to breathe. The reason for that is there's explosive gases in there, especially if you burn hickory, by the way. And you open that door too fast, and a 14 by 16 wall of flame will come roaring out of there, sometimes 4 foot long or more. It will change your appearance. I have removed eyebrows, eyelashes, some of my hair. I have become, you know, it's pretty interesting. It's kind of painful. But anyway, that was one of the rules, but I was told that one. But the rule that I wasn't told was don't put your hand in that stove past that door flange. Now, that's really important stuff to know. Well, this one day I got up out of bed, and I work nights. I got up out of bed and I went out there. There was an ice storm and it was terrible outside. It was awful. And of course, I'm so stubborn that I'm going to work, right? So I'm going out there, I'm going to feed this stove. And so I struggled to get over to it because it's so slick. And I pick up this piece of oak, probably 12 inches in diameter, about 24 inches long, pretty good sized chunk of wood. And I get over to the stove opening and I chunk that thing in there, only I got my hand in there. And I have insulated gloves on, weld gloves on, because you have to. Well, that piece of wood bounced off the back of the firebox and it bounced back and it caught just that part of my little hand on that door flange. Wham! And I'm like, oh! You know that part in the Bible that talks about moans that only God's Spirit can interpret? I think I know what that was all about. Anyway, to make a long story short, I didn't even look. I left my gloves on. I thought, oh. And when I could think straight, stand up, all that stuff, I finished filling the stove, and I went to the house. And it was hurting. I mean, hurting bad. I didn't know if the end of my finger was still there. Obviously, it made it, right? But I get to the doorway, and I pulled the glove off. And it's not even bleeding. It hurts so awful. I go in the door. She sees me through the glass walking up. And she knows I've hurt myself somehow, and that's not unusual at our place. And she said, "What happened?" And those are the first words I spoke. And I couldn't even moan out there. I was like, "Aah!" And so I started, "I broke my finger." And she said, "So why are you limping?" Now, in her defense, she thought I might have hurt my leg. I didn't even know I was limping. My finger hurt so bad that I was limping. I told that to one of the guys I work with, and he hasn't forgotten. He laughs every day about me limping because I hurt my finger and her sympathy for me. She's just a detail-oriented person, but I had to tell you that because that's how I came up with the rule, don't put your hand inside that door flange. A stupid little story, funny. I love to laugh, really do. But there's some serious stuff that I want to teach you this morning about your heart, about making rules, about guarding yourself. It's really important stuff, and I need you to pay attention, close attention, because this is life-changing stuff for you. I try to come and bring you something that you can take for the rest of your life and use. It's usually stuff that when I look in the mirror, I'm busting myself over and over and over. In his book, Point Man, Roger Hell recounts the many horrors of the combat marine in Vietnam. He tells of his first impressions, of his first kill, and of his friends being killed on every side. And in that book, he talks frankly about building a shell around his heart to keep away from the pain of where he was. And as the title suggests, he also tells of becoming the best point man possible. Now, the point man would lead the unit through the jungle. And they were very aware of everything. That shell that he built around his heart during his time in Vietnam became his biggest obstacle later in his life. Many of us Christians build shells around our hearts too. It's human nature to protect yourself. Just like that door flange on that stove. When it hurts that bad, you're going to change what's happening. If you've had a friend turn their back on you and it hurts that bad, you're going to be slower to let somebody get that close to your heart again. You're going to protect yourself. You're going to build a wall. You're going to make a rule. You're going to put up a barrier. We think when we get behind that wall that we can't be reached and tormented, but the reality of it is that we isolate ourselves from everyone and we end up in a much worse condition than ever before. Because that barrier that we put up to keep away the pains and hurts of life, they also keep out the joys of life. Just like there's an action, there's a counteraction. There's side effects of all this. There's collateral damage. There really is. We isolate ourselves from God when we guard our hearts like that. That's what I want to point out to you the most. The simple solution to us might be just take down those barriers and start over. And that's true. That is the simple solution. That's what we need to do. But we need to understand how those barriers came to be to begin with, how they function, what are the failures of that system, and where are they? Because how do you take something down if you don't know where it is? How do you deactivate when you've protected yourself? How do you open yourself up to somebody? One of the biggest barriers I've had lately in my life is I had a hard time trusting somebody enough that I would be open with them and be prayer partners with them and let them have me just as I am. That sounds really stupid, but it's not. I did find a friend that, other than Sandy, that I could lay everything out to. And it's not a perfect world, and you do get hurt sometimes when you do that. But if you don't ever do it, you hurt yourself much worse. The first thing that you have to know is all of us walk through life searching for peace. That's why we put that shell up. We want that peace. We want to sit down and be at rest. We go searching for that. These shells we encase our hearts with are a serious effort to find peace for the inner person. And so the idea of distancing ourselves from turmoil or hurt is not an evil one. It's like turning off the TV and not watching political ads. It's good for you. But at the same time, it's bad for you. It has another effect. We think we control our situation, but we don't. We put our situation out of control. A classic example of this was my dad. He got married. He had a family. He started doing everything that he could do the old-fashioned way. The dad went to work. He provided for his family. He worked hard. He worked for the government. Poor guy. He was a computer programmer. He was too smart is what he was. But one of his little boys died. He drowned. My little brother drowned. And when that happened, it changed our whole family. And he started throwing up his great wall around his heart. And it took him years and years and years to get rid of pieces of it. There were still pieces there. He never could bring himself to love quite the same again. And it was hard on him. Very hard. He didn't know how to get that hurt worked out. Unfortunately for me, I also built a big wall. I had everybody blocked out. I was Mr. Tough Guy. Yeah. Way too tough. Nobody was going to hurt me by saying they loved me. That was just the way they got to you. Then I met Sandy, and I don't know what happened there. She got through a crack in the armor somehow. And I learned that love was really good, and that it could be pure, and that it could be unconditional. And that's how I figured out that God needed to get in here. And he needed to get a hold of me. Because I wasn't so tough anymore. That shell messes you up. Instead of building these emotional forts in which we hide ourselves, I hope to teach you how to defend against the painful events in your lives as they come, and even teach you how to find reconciliation for the past. If we cease to live as reaction-oriented people and find our lives to be faith-oriented instead, we will find peace for our hearts. Let's take a closer look at the barriers in our lives and why we're there. And since you can't talk about your barriers, I'll talk about one of mine. My wall started when I was a little boy. When my little brother died, I picked up a piece of that and stashed it in here. because it was me that he followed across the street when he drowned. I didn't even know I picked that up, but I did. Our whole family got messed up by that. And we all were really tough, the older kids in the family. And we all protected ourselves, and none of us ever had children. That's how tough we were. I didn't think love could really exist. I protected myself by being pretty unlovable. Parts of that wall are still up there today. They are. I didn't even realize that till a couple of years ago. A guy that's sitting in here today, I'm not going to mention him by name because I don't want to embarrass him. He offered me his love in a practical way. I was talking about how I couldn't keep up with my fields and mowing and stuff, and he said, I'll come over and help you. And I figured out there was still a piece of wall there that I was hiding behind. I was so insecure, arrogant, whatever it was, proud, that I didn't allow him to love me by helping me. But you know what else I did? I robbed him of the gift of coming and giving. And I robbed me of the gift of being given to. And I robbed us, he and I, of the gift of being even closer than we are now. And I didn't even know it at the time. I wasn't aware that I had this stupid wall up here because I couldn't see it. You ever stand back and see, I can make it on my own? You fierce, independent American people. When you do that, you isolate yourself from each other. You hide behind this facade. It's not real. It doesn't do anything for you. It disables you. Throw it away. Let people love you. Yeah, you're going to get hurt. And there are people that I work with I will not let in. Okay? I'll be honest with you. I don't go around saying, la-di-da. Because I look at them and say, I see your fruit. I know what kind of tree you are. It's poisonous. You're not getting near me. But let people love you, especially the people that you worship with. Let them know you. You'll still get hurt. Somebody will still gossip. But you'll be stronger. You'll be closer to God. You'll be closer to these people. And you'll have a support group that you can't imagine. I told someone earlier, I drift into this consumer Christian thing when I'm not preaching. Golly, I hate that, but I do it. And this has been good for me. It's woke me up to the fact that that's what I was doing and that I need to do more. When you're hurting, throw the junk out of the way. Let somebody love you. Sandy worked on a spot in that wall. You know what? It didn't even hurt. It wasn't like the door flange in that stove. By the way, I did break my finger. I did not go to work that night. I couldn't have put a glove on that finger if I'd tried. And I made a hard, fast rule. And it's a good one. That's a barrier you can put up. But don't put one up around your heart. Because God's love can't even penetrate that. You have to let him in. You have to decide, this isn't going to be.
protected by me. Let him protect it. Remember that child of God thing you were singing about? It's real. And he loves his children. And he loves you. Let him in. Don't block him out. Don't hold him back. Don't rob him of the joy of giving to you. And don't rob yourself of the joy of receiving from him. And don't rob the both of you from that closer relationship. You see what I'm saying? Do you get it? You can talk out loud. It's okay. Golly, I hope you get it. You can't see the wall that you build, but you can see what happens because of it. How many times have you said, I can't let somebody over here look inside my workshop, it's a mess? And use that for an excuse. I'm not going to let you help me. My house isn't perfect. I can't have her come over and help me. I can handle this. I'm tough. I can do this. No, you're not. Let people love you. Let God love you. Roger Hill, that I was talking about this morning, actually found that shell, found its location right around his heart. And he got rid of it. And he opened himself up to God. And the only way that he could deal with all the stuff that happened to him, because there was a lot, was to help other people that were in that spot come back and be real and be productive and be loving. One of the things that you need to do to get rid of your shell is find yourself a really good friend. In 2 Corinthians 6, Paul wrote, "We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak to my children, open wide your hearts also." Got to have a relationship. You got to have interaction. You got to be real with somebody. Because if you're not, you're weak. Find somebody that you can trust, that you can sit down with and say, "This is me. Can you pray about that? Can you hold me accountable? Can you kick me when I'm hurting and need you to kick me?" It's pretty important, guys and girls. Women get off the hook a lot of the time. They don't like to admit that they have that "I'm strong" thing going on, but they do. We have to make ourselves vulnerable. We have to open ourselves up. We cannot protect ourselves by isolating ourselves. If somebody picks you to be their friend, that is a holy thing. Don't betray them. They need you. And that's a big step to be chosen. It's a big step to share with somebody like that. I had a guy walk up to me and say, "I need you to mentor me." And I thought, what you don't know is I need you to mentor me. People often look at a preacher and say, "Oh, they're bulletproof." No, we're full of bullet holes. We know where we're weak. And we're afraid to admit it publicly a lot of times. And that makes us weaker. Pray for your preachers, ministers that you know. Because that's a tough thing. to open up and share. It really is. My own dad found out about the barriers. And he wasn't perfect. Sometimes he put a Band-Aid over a splinter and it went ahead and festered up like it will. All of us will do that. But in the grand scheme of things, he opened up his heart and he let God through. And I got to know him as a Christian man before he passed. And I know that he's at peace. And I bet he doesn't have any barriers around his heart. Remember that. That's survival tip number one. Take that hard shell out. Open yourself up to Christian people. And open yourself up to God. Don't be playing Christian. Pray about it. Pick somebody out and say, I want you to mentor me. I want you to pray for me. Be purposeful about your Christianity. Go and grab somebody and say, come on, let's do this together. I need your help. Be real. Especially you men, be real. Don't hold back. It's not worth it. Take that shell out and let him in. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I'm so thankful to you for this day that you've given us, for the amazing gift of your Spirit. I thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, that all we have to do is come to you and open our hearts and let you in, let you have us, and you take what is broken and you make it right. You take what is messed up and you straighten it up. I thank you, Father, for blessing all of us as your children, and I pray that you'll teach us as we go. Help us to find you closer than ever before. Every day. In Jesus' name, amen.